I want to call my penis the vanilla unicorn from now on.
Do it. But only when you smother it with like vanilla extract.
Like, hey, you want to come sit on my vanilla unicorn?
Oh, my God.
I'm changing my Twitter handle. It'll be vanilla unicorn. Semen, 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 semen. It's like, pew! It's all over your face.
This coming out of the mouth of the guy who was just talking about how strong the word hate is.
Dark Knight Rises sucks.
He is not a mentally disabled person.
Are you nuts?
He's just Southern.
I agree with Justin.
Oh, God.
Uptown all the way.
That's Justin's kiss of death right there.
I like songs with instructions because it really helps me out.
Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Randy will be here shortly, but so far I got Justin, I got Amanda, and we have a special guest today from Geeking Out with threes instead of E's, Lacey Gillerin. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Yes! How is everybody doing today?
Fabulous. Damn it. We always answer at the same time. Like sometimes I'll say it right away and we say it all at the same time, and then other times I'll wait like a beat and we still all say it at the same time.
Okay, it's fine. I'm about to McLaughlin group this ass. How was your weekend? Justin, go.
Great.
Amanda, go.
Awesome.
Lacey, go.
I sat on the couch.
Wrong.
So I am wrong. Cue ball.
Is he still alive?
I who knows?
I think he died.
I bet he is.
He's probably dead.
I think we would have heard something if he died. Like, it would have been on the news. Speaking of which, I saw the first episode of Almost Human, but we can talk about that later.
Oh, did you really?
I did. It was, I was surprisingly happy.
Yeah? How'd you get to watch it? Did they send
it? There was an event, and I got all excited because I thought it was, all they said was that it revolved around a J.J. Abrams project. I'm like, Star Wars casting? And so I'm like, oh, I'll go. And then we got into the theater, and they're like, oh, we're going to screen the first episode of Almost Human. I'm like, all right. But it's actually really good.
Why don't you tell us more about it, Dave?
It was great, because I like Carl Urban, and I really like Minka Kelly. She's from my favorite show, Friday Night Lights. She plays Lila Garrity in Friday Night Lights and head cheerleader.
Oh, she's back. I've been wondering what happened to her.
And so she's in it.
She's been in Derek Jeter's house.
Yeah, kidnapped, and you know he's been on the disabled list, so she's been busy. No, it's pretty good. Yeah, it takes place in the relatively near future, where all police officers are also paired with these like emotional robots, like almost think like what's his name from Aliens?
Bishop.
Bishop. There you go. And Carl Urban is teamed with like an older model who has more free will and is more sentient and is less of a robot, still very robotic, but it deals mostly with their relationship, and they fight crime, and shit happens.
Oh.
And the first episode, we're introduced to what I'm assuming will be the baddie of the whole series, whose name escapes me at this moment, but you should definitely check it out. I think it's not coming on till November. It's, I think, November 4th, so I think it's on Fox, and I think they're going to put it on after baseball playoffs are over. So November 4th on Fox, and I think it's at 8. But it's done by the same guy who did Fringe. Carl Urban is the main star, and like I said, the very attractive, very lovable Minka Kelly is also in it.
Who?
Shut up, Google her.
All right.
You'll like her.
Sounds good.
Sounds amazing.
I'm sold.
Do it. Check it out.
Does he wear his dread helmet?
Sadly, he is dread helmet-less.
Well, that's too bad.
You can't have everything.
Does he have long hair like in Lord of the Rings? Is it all beautiful and I can comb it with an unbreakable comb?
No, he does not. But he also is not as terrible as he is his bones in the remakes.
So I like him as bones.
Yeah, me too. What are you talking about?
He's so irritating in the darkness.
What? He's got the metaphors.
He's terrible. I love Carl Urban. I love the reboots. I love McCoy. But I don't like the three of them together. It's like A plus B plus C equals F.
Oh.
And letters don't even add up to stuff.
Oh,
wow. So Sleepy Hollow, I heard that's a good show too.
Oh, right.
You don't have to wait till November for that show.
No, it's already started. It's amazing.
All about it.
It's amazing. It swooped all the Emmys last night.
It hadn't even started. Oh, wait. No, it did start already. Wait, when did it premiere? I watched it on Hulu.
I watched it last week.
I watched it today.
I think it started last week. Because we're all fans. I think it started last week. And it'll continue this week.
I never watch television when it's actually on.
It's hard, huh?
Unless I have to write a review for it.
Oh.
Does this have a unique twist on the classic Sleepy Hollow tale? Or?
Yes. It takes place like right now. And
as all shows must, apparently.
It's too much money to do a period piece.
That's true.
And period pieces suck.
Yeah, and there's like witches and stuff. So like he was around a long time ago, right? And then Ichabod Crane,
yeah.
He like
stopped. It's Ichabod Crane, yeah.
Yeah. And then, so for those who don't remember, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow was a short story by Washington Irving, and Ichabod Crane was a school teacher who wanted to marry like the local rich guy's daughter, Katrina.
She's a babe.
But he was vying for her hand with another guy, and they pretty much just like fight over her. And then one day he's like riding down the street on his horse. He sees a mysterious figure in the distance. And what is it but the headless horseman who chases him all over town. And Ichabod remembers this thing where if he rides over a bridge, then the headless horseman will disappear. But then he doesn't disappear. And the headless horseman throws his head at Ichabod. And then you don't know what happened to him. He just disappeared.
Credits.
Wasn't it that, Roll. I might be totally wrong. I might be totally taking this from the Disney version, which is, like, part of my childhood. Isn't it like they, like, basically they're like, we dare you to go in the woods. We'll leave you alone if you go in the woods, if you think you're so big and bad. And then that's why he goes in the woods.
I don't know if that was part of it.
Maybe Disney just added that in. Way to go, Disney. You're ruining my perception of literature.
I was reading the synopsis on Wikipedia, so...
So you didn't read the story?
I have read the story, recently.
I was going to say, it's short, you know. But the TV show has nothing to do with any of that.
It's side note.
No, it doesn't.
It's more like...
For one thing, Ichabod Crane in the story is like kind of a coward, but in the show, he's a revolutionary soldier.
Yeah.
And a babe.
And so there's that, Dave. Are you still here or are you asleep?
What? Is that me? Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
I heard all about Wikipedia's entry into Ichabod Crane, and it's a short story, but it takes place in modern time, but the guy's a revolutionary hero. I'm making sure I'm not drinking.
Yeah, so forget everything you know about Sleepy Hollow.
They added a huge supernatural element, like the Headless Horseman is actually one of the horsemen of the apocalypse. Yeah. Like, he's really? Actually death.
Mm-hmm. You know that Ray Park, Darth Maul from episode 1, he played the Headless Horseman in Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow. Just so
oh,
you know.
Really?
That's fascinating.
Bringing it all back to Star Wars.
My buddy Casper Van Dien was in Sleepy Hollow.
That's true. Now that you're Twitter buddies.
Yeah. That's fun. Anyway, so forget everything you know about Sleepy Hollow and just know that now it takes place in like 2013 and now he's a cop. Not really. He helps a cop and they chase down bad guys that are demons that slit people's throats and it's intense.
So it's like supernatural.
The end.
It is, but it's like the best way I was thinking of it, it's like the stereotypical guy and girl team work. Like, because it opens with this girl who's a cop, this sassy black girl who's a cop. She's a strong, independent woman. She doesn't need anybody to tell her what to do. And the older cop's like, you don't need to go away. And she's like going away on her own journey to like join the FBI. So like that sets it up that, you know, you're like, she's not going anywhere. She's going to be stuck here. She's not going anywhere. And then the old guy dies, right? He dies in the beginning. And then that sets it up for, like, someone always dies. And then I found the whole episode, people just kept dying the whole time.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm usually okay with that, except they killed all the most interesting characters.
That makes room for more interesting characters. It's like a Hydra. Chop off the head and then two more show up. So I mean, we lose Mr. Cho and Clancy Brown, and now we get Walter Bishop. So that's cool. I think John Noble is worth a Clancy Brown.
As long as they don't make a habit of it, because
we already have Game of Thrones.
Huh?
We already have Game of Thrones to just willy-nilly
well,
kill
I
everybody.
I don't care about that, but, I mean, what's her face? I don't really feel like she's enough to carry the show.
Well, keep in mind,
her
this
character is kind of boring.
It was just the pilot, though. The series will be different from the pilot. They'll take notes, and they'll get their feedback, and they know what works and what doesn't. So episode 2 is always way different than the pilot.
Did you guys catch the line at the end when he said that it's a 7-year fight?
I don't remember.
At the end, he's talking to her about the book. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, two people, the first witness and the second witness, have to fight for 7 years before a judgment day on the 7th year. I was like, what, are there going to be 7 seasons now? It's already, like, planned out?
Maybe. Well, they're going to probably try and stop the judgment day. How can we stop this from happening? So it could be less.
True.
Think about that.
You can't stop judgment day.
My favorite part of the episode was when the two cops, there's the headless horseman and the two cops come up, and they always have those two comedic cops that come in and they say like snarky lines, and the guy's like, put your hands on your, oh, what kind of thing is he? And you're like, okay, got it. That was my favorite part of the whole show.
Yeah, everyone is taking all of this very well in stride. Like all the crazy stuff that's happening.
Well, it is Sleepy Hollow.
Well, no.
I mean, shit goes down there. That's just the way it
goes. The show seems to be disregarding the existence of that story, though.
Right. Fringe was like that, too. There was an episode where, in the first season, when Olivia was trying to tell Agent Francis that, okay, hey, we got to let these birds go so they can find the bad guy. And he's like, all right. Like, he just totally buys into it. It's like, I know better than to ask. It's just better that way.
That's so true. They were so calm about it. They're like, yeah, we'll find it eventually. Yeah. Everyone's like, that one girl's like, seriously, everybody's dying. And the guy's like, hey, we'll figure it out.
Exactly. That's how they do.
Hey there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fantastic.
Randy, I'd like you to meet Lacey. Lacey, Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Lacey. It's a pleasure. Well, I'm assuming it will be a pleasure anyway.
What does that mean?
It's a little presumptuous of me to proclaim it at the very beginning.
Right.
Oh, God.
I'm just teasing.
Just remember it's been a long day of work. Through the internet.
This is true. Hooray for the internet.
Hmm. We're talking Sleepy Hollow, Randy. Did you see it?
I did not.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, I did. Anyway, it's worth a look. I think it was enjoyable, so check it out.
I wish they hadn't killed John Cho.
I'm okay
with him. Mm. Oh, so now that Randy's here, you can talk about Dexter.
Oh, yeah. Randy, what'd you think of it?
Wow. After the... well, okay. I'll start before the WTF ending. was I the only one that was just hoping that a Weekend at Bernie's moment would happen when Dev's body was, like, wrapped in a sheet on the back of the boat? You just wanted to see it pop out and hit a buoy? Was I the only one thinking that?
That would have been pretty sad.
That would have been really sad, but it just screamed of Weekend at Bernie's to me, which completely takes me out of the mood of the final episode, which if I were to overall sum up in one succinct phrase, I would say somewhat disappointing.
Exactly.
But the entire season happened, so it had its flash of brilliance, but or a flash of made me kind of care, but meh, overall.
I concur. Boring.
Wait, how did she die? She was in surgery or something?
Yeah,
or
she was shot. The bullet went in and out, no big deal. But then a clot formed while she was in surgery, which ultimately gave her a stroke. And she lost a lot of her brain function. And then she was hooked up to a machine, and then Dexter unplugged her tubes. And then she died.
Oh.
Dick.
Yeah,
basically.
Totally.
The whole episode was lame.
So Dexter gets away?
Kinda, but it's not a happy ending. He fakes his own death and then leaves his would-be new wife and basically his girlfriend and his son together in Argentina. And
girlfriend, who is also a serial killer, no less.
Yeah.
Let's not leave that part out.
He's afraid that, you know, he's going to ruin their lives by being a part of it. So he fakes his own death and goes and becomes a lumberjack somewhere and grows a beard. It's so stupid. Yep. It's so
like a bad glued on beard. It looked bad.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Dumbest thing ever. Fun. No. Total waste.
I liked like the first four seasons, I think, were amazing. But it kind of went downhill the last couple seasons.
Yeah. In fact, I think every episode this season, I was always doing something else while it was on. That's how just not interested I was.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What can you do? We never have to watch it ever again. If we're lucky, we'll have the same impact it'll have the same impact with Breaking Bad. Everyone will realize that it's a dumb show, and they'll hate themselves for watching it.
God, what's the matter with you?
It sucks, man. It sucks.
No, it doesn't.
So oh, my God. Are we done with Dexter? Because it was stupid and dumb.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Justin's next thing that's stupid and dumb.
Yeah.
What else is stupid and dumb, Justin?
Breaking Bad. It's so bad and dumb and stupid.
I liked it.
It's slow. Oh, yeah. Let's watch Walt just pout around his little cabin.
Let's have some character building and setup for the finale.
Oh, who gives a shit?
Are you finally caught up, David?
Well, I watched all the ones that were on Netflix, and then I just started reading Amanda's reviews, and then I watched the last two episodes live. So, as caught up as I'm going to be.
Right.
I decided to tune in on the episode where Hank gets shot. I'm like, oh, all right. I'm in.
And yeah, this Jesse's girlfriend gets her head blown out.
Yeah,
that was really sad.
I think that was totally pointless. I think this whole torture thing with Jesse, I think, is not necessary. We already hate that stupid mentally disabled kid that's beating him up all the time. I don't know why I hate him. There's no way for me to hate him even more. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know, he was in Friday Night Lights too.
Yeah, he probably got hit too many times in the head there.
You didn't hate the winning him anymore after that last night?
What's that?
You didn't hate him anymore after watching him just kill that chick last night?
I've already accepted that. I have kind of a bottomless pit of hatred, so it really doesn't matter.
You know, that's exactly how I would describe you, a bottomless pit of hatred.
I would make an excellent Sith, is all I'm going to say.
I'd make your business card. That's going to be your tagline.
Bottomless pit of hatred. But sometimes you try to hide it. You're like, oh, fine young woman, uptown all the way.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I just
don't fully embrace it.
I just thought it was dumb. And, like, he really has a shot with this girl? Come on. The businesswoman that orders her food all weird, whatever her name is. Like, she really is going to care about this guy?
He's crazy. He's a psychopath.
He's stupid.
He doesn't realize. Like, that's the point.
She's next in his little dungeon basement of doom.
Yeah, I bet, like she. I mean, if it was going to go longer, I bet she would rebuff him, and then he would freaking start torture her, too.
Probably. So, in the season opener, the very, 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 very beginning of season 5, 15 episodes ago, when it's like a flash forward and he's getting the gun, he's like, you know, he's at that restaurant, and then the guy hooks him up with a car and an assault rifle.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he's going to kill Jack, Uncle Jack, with that gun?
I don't know, because, like, the end of last night's episode, like, his anger wasn't directed towards Jack anymore.
Oh, now
he's like the dark pissed off people, with his right? old partner.
Yeah. So stupid.
Well, it's his ego. Like, his ego is his downfall. Like, he says he does everything for his family, but he really does everything because of his ego. Heisenberg is who he is now. He's not Walter White anymore. And so
that's exactly what they said, though, in that interview. She's like, Walter White is gone. I can't speak for this Heisenberg, but the guy that we knew, the brilliant man that we knew, he's gone.
Right. I liked the whole disillusion of, like, his life. Like, watching how everything's just falling apart a little by little. Like, first, like, he thinks that he can just pick up where he's left off and, like, force Saul to, you know, help him, and he can't even keep Saul around anymore. I mean, the whole reason Saul was in that bunker is because he's trying to get away from the stuff that he's had to do because of Walt. And then, I don't really like Skylar, but I had to feel for her a little bit since she's just been sucked into this. She's like in the crosshairs of Lydia and Crazy Todd, and she doesn't even know why. Like, I kind of feel like Lydia's paranoia. Oh, I was hoping Lydia's paranoia would just backfire on her, because I don't think Skylar noticed her at all when she came into the car wash.
Right.
But Lydia's so freaking paranoid, she can't, like, leave that to chance. I thought for sure that maybe Skylar would just turn around and tell the police, but I guess not, since several months go by.
In the immortal words of Johnny Rico, kill them all.
Can't wait. Anyway.
I hope they all live happily ever after.
What? No, you don't.
David is an optimist.
It's all going to be a dream. The final shot will be Walter White coming out of the MRI machine from like the first episode, and they tell him he has cancer, and then it fades to white. It was all in his. It's all in his dream.
Are you sure it's not purgatory, like Lost?
Oh, they better not pull any bullshit.
Moving on. Yeah, seat's taken.
Yeah, Emmys.
Seat's taken.
Did you guys watch the Emmys last night? I'm sure the answer is no.
I didn't even know it was on.
Oh my god, it was.
I opened up my computer to do my Breaking Bad review.
It was so great, because like all the stuff I wanted to win won, like Jeff Daniels won for Newsroom, and I was like, yes. And then Julia Louis-Dreyfus won for Veep, and I was like, double yes. And then just up and down, you know, Breaking Bad won for Best Series, Modern Family won for Best Comedy, Jeff Daniels and Claire Danes won Actor and Actress for Drama. Jim Parsons from Big Bang Theory won Best Actor for Comedy.
Doesn't he always win?
He's won the past 3 years in a row.
It's a pretty weak field. It was the only other one that was kind of you could make a point for would be Louis C.K. For Louis. Alec Baldwin's won a bunch of times. Don Cheadle for House of Lies, nobody watches. And Matt LeBlanc is, well, Matt LeBlanc.
The worst.
LeBlanc is on something?
Yeah, he's on Episodes. the show is called Episodes, not episodes of a show. And so I just don't think anyone wants to be Academy Award winner Matt LeBlanc or Emmy Award winner Matt LeBlanc. I don't think they want that kind of
thing. You won an Academy Award?
No.
For Lost in Space?
For Ed. Oh. That movie where he plays baseball with a monkey.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with that one with Rene Russo. Buddy?
Buddy?
Ah, jeez.
Am I being negative, but I don't understand why Modern Family keeps winning.
Because it's the best show ever, you negative broad you.
But it's one of those shows that it's like, it's funny, and yeah, I'll watch if it's on or I see it, but it's not something like I have to watch every week, and I don't find it so crazily funny that like, why does it keep winning? I don't get it. Park and Rec is funnier.
No. Modern Family every so often will have kind of like a meh episode, but the funniest episode of the year is going to be a Modern Family episode. The most consistently funny is going to be Big Bang Theory, but Modern Family, like when they hit it, they just knock it out of the park. And I'm sure that's the episode they sent to you know, for consideration. But I love Modern Family. I love unfortunately, Julie Bowen didn't win for Best Actress, but you know, they can't win them all. I know that's Justin's girl.
She's jacked. Every time I see her, I just see how, like, she's, like, very muscular arms.
Oh, yeah? Justin likes a strong woman.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, he likes a woman.
It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying I'm pretty sure she could beat me up.
I'm about a deuce, deuce and a half, so they need to be able to pick me up.
Another fun Emmy that I was really excited about was Tony Hale, who's Buster from Arrested Development. He won Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series for Veep. I don't know if anyone else here watches Veep, but it's hysterically funny, and it's great that it actually got some recognition last night.
I just started watching it today.
Oh, yeah?
I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And it's pretty consistently funny from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it was good to see that those two actors got recognized. And then I don't know, again, if anyone saw Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace HBO movie.
It was Liberace.
I'm afraid to watch that.
It's so good.
It seems really disturbing.
It is out there to like the 10th degree. Like Matt Damon and Rob Lowe and Michael Douglas, they're not holding back. They're just super over the top, and it's like super funny and super dramatic. Like if you just Google like Rob Lowe from Behind the Candelabra, like you don't even recognize him, like, because he plays this guy who's just addicted to plastic surgery and doesn't even look like a person. But that won for Best Miniseries. Steven Soderbergh won for Best Director for directing it, and Michael Douglas won for Best Actor. So, all in all,
there's
it was
not that many miniseries though.
You'd be surprised. There's always an S ton. For Best Miniseries, let's see, there was the Phil Spector movie, Ring of Fire. Let's see what else. American Horror Story.
Oh, that's being counted as a miniseries?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's only 12 episodes.
And so, but Behind the Candelabra is muy bueno, and I definitely recommend everyone Googling Rob Lowe Behind the Candelabra just to see his face.
I like his hair.
How he looks.
Yeah. He's a fun guy. But that was pretty much it for the Emmys. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm sure Justin will be excited to know that Anna Gunn, who plays Skyler on Breaking Bad, won for Best Actress, or Best Supporting Actress in a Dramatic Series.
Well, I hate her just as much as I hate fucking Andrea from Walking Dead, so obviously she's doing a great job.
But Andrea has no awards.
That's true. She has the award for biggest bitch in the world.
I like that you used bitch instead of the word you wanted to use.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a gentleman.
That's true. You are. You're nothing if not a gentleman. You will hold the door open for her before you push her into the dirt.
Dude, I can't even look at a picture of her without being like all Gilbert Godfrey and be like, bitch! As soon as I see her. Every time.
Nice. But that's pretty much it for the Emmys. Since no one else saw it, it's really no need to continue on, I guess. Anything going on in the video games there?
Yeah. Well, I've been playing Grand Theft Auto V since like it came out.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
Tell me all about it.
Oh, I love it. It's a lot of fun. I don't even know where to begin. The campaign is a lot of fun. You get to drive so many different vehicles. It's puts you in you know, like submarines and on boats and cars. There's a billion different cars. You fly planes, helicopters, you blow up a lot of stuff. You steal fire trucks and pretend you're a fireman and go inside a burning building, so you can go and steal some information. It's crazy. There's so much happening that the world itself, Los Santos, the city, is huge. And it's so much fun to explore. And at first it's a little intimidating because it's so large. But eventually you kind of learn your way and it's not so bad. But I was pretty nervous at first. There's this ridiculous torture scene where you gotta like pull out a guy's teeth. You get to shock his chest with a car battery. To break his leg. You get to waterboard him, and it's so brutal. Like I literally felt super dirty afterwards, and just kind of had to go take like a rape shower. I was just borderline offended at how brutal it was. And in fact, in the game, I went and played a round of golf afterwards to kind of clear my head. And it was intense.
Now a round of golf in the game, right? Not a
correct. Correct. It's yeah, there's a bunch of mini games inside the game, and the golf is a lot of fun. It's pretty intuitive. excuse me, it's relaxing. I had a blast, banging broads, killing folk, running over people. There's this one time where I had to snipe this guy on a boat, and I killed his girlfriend before I killed him, so he could see it first. That's how brutal I am in that game.
Wow.
I wanted him.
So it's really like real life.
I wanted him to be scared before he died. If I just shot him in the head, then he wouldn't have had a chance to be scared.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
This game is like the documentary of Justin's life.
I know, right?
It's how he lives 24/7. He lives every week like it's Shark Week.
Exactly. I like taking people out of their car and then running them over, like doing burnouts on their face. I'll do that. Or if I see some poor bastard on a bike, I'll just smash into the back of them and their body goes flying. One guy went up in the air and landed in the bed of my truck. It was awesome. And I didn't get an achievement for that. I thought that would be like a total achievement move, and it didn't happen.
I guess no one thought about it.
I could probably never do it ever again. It was so cool.
Now, was it by
accident? Did he die, or was he like struggling back there?
No, he died. Loser. Can't even ride a bike.
with a car up its butt.
Yeah. So, yeah. Grand Theft Auto. Check it out.
Is that it for video games?
That's it.
Yeah.
Hey, our cricket buddy's back.
Yeah.
Or are you watching The Walking Dead in the background?
He's back. Speaking of things that people ignore, are you guys familiar with the movie Escape from Tomorrow, the movie that was shot without permission at Disneyland?
Yes.
And so, so we've been talking, here you go. So we've been talking about, you know, why, how does this movie exist? How's Disney not fighting it? And it turns out that Disney has decided they don't want to give some, by all accounts, terrible movie the free press that it so desperately wants, and they're just going to let it die. They're not going to fight it. They're going to let him release his movie. They're not going to do anything to try to fight it just to avoid giving him any free press.
Just already seems like some people are talking about it, so.
Well, even if they are, as long as Disney ignores it, then it doesn't get more.
Helped that it went to, when it played at Sundance, it, like, bombed. Like, everyone said it was, like, the worst movie they'd ever seen. And so I think Disney's like, well, this movie's just going to bomb and no one's going to care. And the only reason anyone would care about this movie is if we made a big stink and it was a huge legal battle. And so I thought it was kind of cool. Like, you don't usually hear big corporations being like, whatever, we'll just ignore it and let it make it go, it'll go away.
And just but I mean, at the same trailer, time, it didn't look very good.
I agree.
It looked horrible.
It's pretty much universally being panned as a terrible movie. And, you know, Randy Moore, who's the director, you know, he's clearly trying to goat, like, a reaction out of Disney. Like, the poster is like a bloody Mickey hand, and the type font for the title is, you know, in that Disney calligraphy. And he's just going to Twitter, and he's going everywhere, and it just seems like he's, like everything is drenched in, oh, I hope Disney doesn't shut us down. And, like, he's, like, fighting a one-sided fight to where it's like the other side's such a big, huge fight. It'd be like if a gnat went up to like Mike Tyson and started flicking it. It's like, what, are you scared of me? And I saw it was kind of cool that Disney was doing that. They're like, screw you. I'm not going to give you free press.
Good for them.
I just picture him at a press conference with nobody there being like, guys, anybody? Guys?
I didn't ask permission.
He's wearing Mickey ears too. He's like, guys.
It's got like a bite mark out of one of the ears or something.
Did you guys know I shot this at Disneyland, guys?
Yeah.
Nope, nobody cares. And this totally cricket is perfect right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now he shuts up.
No, he's there. I muted you, so I was hunting him. I don't kill him. I just scare him so they go away.
You should sing to him and he'll do your chores.
I don't think it really works like that.
Sure. Sing it in the movies.
What's a cricket going to do, Justin?
Found it.
Okay.
Well, in Pinocchio, he grants wishes, doesn't he?
No, he's the conscience.
He tells you, all he does is nag at you.
Whatever, that movie fucking sucks.
Well, it was made in like 1940.
It's probably all about racism.
Just upset that your nose doesn't grow when you lie?
I don't want my nose to grow.
Yeah, you want something else to grow.
There you go.
Booyah.
Yeah, some of those old Disney movies are just so racist. Like Peter Pan, the worst. Talk about Indians and red people.
Oh, yeah.
Tinkerbell.
Made the red man red?
Yeah.
That's a fun song.
And Tinkerbell is the biggest C word in the world. I can't imagine that people love her. Like, she tries to kill Wendy. Like not like in a cute way, but like, telling the Lost Boys to, like, shoot her.
Right.
All the women in the movies are always, like, basically bitches, and they're just like, yeah, I'll do whatever the guy tells me to do. I'll change myself. I won't do anything. You know? So annoying.
Walt Disney hates women. Just saying.
Well, I like the song in Hunchback when the guy is, like, trying to get, like, an orgasm with the fire.
What?
Oh, Hellfire?
Yeah! He's getting hot in that one.
Well, yeah, is he seeing like the little naked image of the gypsy girl in the fire?
Yeah, that's hot, man.
That was about as racy as Disney ever got with the animation. That was like 1996.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah,
I got a fan myself when that song's playing.
It's creepy though, because that's just a creepy, creepy character.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. What kind of list you got for us this week?
I'm just going to go ahead and dive right into it. I pulled this off of the Forbes website. It's about a year old, so it may not have any real recent movies on it. But this is supposedly the top 10 funniest movies based on laughs per minute as conducted by the British online streaming movie service Love Film.
I love British humor.
No, you don't.
Well, then you're going to love number 10.
Are you going to LPM's
Monty Python's Life of Brian?
It's oh, it's overrated.
1.2 laughs per minute. And this is from their own people, the people of the UK. 1.2 laughs per minute, Life of Brian. But then again, I don't really consider that to be the funniest movie of the Monty Python pantheon of films anyway. I've always
What?
Go ahead.
I'd like to know what their methodology is. Like, how are they calculating this?
They literally sat down, made them watch the movie, and counted how many times they laughed, then divided it by the number of minutes of the film, and that's how they came up with laughs per minute. I shit you not. That's exactly how this... it's incredibly subjective, but...
It's
I mean,
science.
All the stars.
Yeah, it's basically just science.
Greg Kelly science.
The stars, these you can just look at having made-up stats sitting next to them, because that's essentially all they are. And I don't even agree with half these movies, but I figure you guys might get a kick out of it.
Like Life of Brian?
Well, that was number 10. Number 9, Shaun of the Dead. You guys appreciate that one.
Yeah, it's a funny movie.
It's not one of the 10 funniest movies of all time, but...
Well, here's another one you might or may not agree with. I don't care. Bridesmaids, number 8, 0.4 laughs per minute. I thought it was pretty funny, but I didn't think it was top 10.
Yeah, it's definitely funny, but it's not the 8th funniest movie ever made by humans.
I'm pretty sure none of these in the top 10 rank in my top 10. But that's okay. Number 7, American Pie, first one, the 1999 one, 1.5 laughs per minute.
I like 2 better than 1.
I appreciated it when it first came out, and I haven't watched it in a while, so I don't know how it holds up.
Nope.
Depends. Do you like Chumbawamba and Sum 41?
Oh my god.
I actually do, yes.
Well, then you're going to love American Pie.
All right, number 6. This is one that I'm pretty sure you guys will agree on. Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. Yes. Justin hated it when it first came out, but it has since grown on him.
Say to David.
The same thing. Justin and I would sit there hating it with each other, and then it'd be like, except this one part, and Justin would be like, and this part, and then we're like, dude, I think we totally love Anchorman.
1.6 laughs per minute.
That movie has so many good one-liners. It's, like, ridiculous. I quote that movie all the time.
I think it's fun to quote, but when I watch it, I don't laugh at all.
Really?
Because you quote it all the damn time. You're immune to its charms.
Yeah.
You're desensitized.
Like, I think Step Brothers is 100 times better than Anchorman.
Oh, I'd agree with that. Step Brothers is...
It's leaps and bounds funnier.
I could get behind that, Justin.
Kid. And while you're behind it, you could penetrate.
Oh, well, that's why I'm behind it.
Moving on.
Some things don't have to be said, Justin.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to make sure that we're on the same page.
They're felt, Justin. They're not said.
Yeah, so some things just work better as a flash animation, Justin.
Oh, yeah. Like Aquaman. Did you listen to that, Amanda?
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, my God.
Fired.
Unbelievable.
You go with your list, Randy.
Number 5, Borat, 1.7 laughs per minute.
Very nice.
Number 4, Superbad, 1.9 laughs per minute.
I love Superbad.
It's pretty good.
No, it's funny. Not 4th funniest movie of all time, but it's funny. I mean, there are 3 Back to the Futures, so I mean, come on.
Not exactly comedy.
I think Superbad kind of I don't think that... What's his face? Hader is all that funny in that movie.
No, he's definitely underutilized.
Yeah. But whatever. It's still good. I enjoy it. I own it. Watch it at least once a year.
Number 3. Yeah. The first Naked Gun movie. 2.3 laughs per minute. Yeah. That jumped up quite a bit from the last one.
That's not too bad.
Number 2 coming in at 2.4 laughs per minute. The Hangover.
I really dislike The Hangover.
Oh, really? First time I saw it, I loved the crap out of it.
I think it's because I've seen it so many times that now I'm like, I hate it.
Oh, well.
Won an Oscar.
What's number 1?
Number one.
What is the funniest movie?
I bet it's Leonard.
Funniest movie of all time. You know what? It's close. Airplane. I actually just watched this movie last week, and I found myself not laughing at all. It is incredibly dated. I mean, it's got a couple jokes, but I don't know. And it just looks – it looks poorly lit. It just looks crap, like crap. The effects are crap. It just looks bad. But it is considered a classic. I also think that the humor is kind of targeted for the over 45 probably crowd.
My
you know,
dad.
People who are old enough to appreciate exactly like our people our parents' age kind of. I mean, it came out in like 79, 80, something like that.
Shatter's
so
Airplane
it's very, very dated.
Hmm.
So I said Shatter's in Airplane 2.
No, we heard
like,
you.
Like Airplane Part 2, not Airplane as well.
Yeah, no one felt the need to comment.
Just saying. Making sure.
I noticed the cricket is back.
Not T-O-O. Yeah, he heard your list, and he's like, that list sucks.
Well, you know, that's what you
British
get.
People are dumb. That's why we got the F out of there, you know, before WW1.
one of our Twitter followers, big Geek Legacy supporter, he at Stony Shop. I'm curious what he thinks of this list. I know he's listening to the podcast, so tweet us what you think of this god-awful list.
Is he British?
Yes, he is.
So what I said before is everyone but you.
No. He's
everyone but our followers who happen to reside in the UK. Because you guys really shouldn't be, you know, just aiming your shotgun of hatred in that general direction.
I love British humor. I love Monty Python. I love Flying Circus. I think it's hilarious.
Oh. I'm with you there.
That's what
I'm
I grew
totally
up on,
down with
so
that.
I love it. They actually played it in, like, one of my classes, and nobody laughed except me.
They used to play it, like, on PBS when I was growing up. I loved it. With Flying Circus.
My favorite ones are obviously Ministry of Silly Walks and then the guy that goes in, he's there for an argument. Oh, so genius. And he's going
to
buy an
argument. They used to have the cassettes and the CDs that you could just like listen to their routines. It was awesome.
Yeah. Oh my God, I just killed myself like 3 times.
it got me through junior high.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I liked Holy Grail like in junior high and high school, and then I tried watching it recently, and I'm like, this movie's nothing. Everybody tell us what your favorite comedy is on Twitter. I'll mute myself so you don't have to listen to my cricket anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Well, let's do our own top 10 based on just any kind of feedback and comments we get.
All right.
Ghostbusters wasn't on there.
Which would be
difficult
if we get a bunch of stuff that doesn't have more than one vote. They're all going to be tied for like first place. But that's okay.
You guys ready for the game?
I hear we have a great game coming.
Well, I don't know if it's great, but we have a game.
Very good.
Yay! Well, kind of it is. It's back by popular demand, the working title game, where I give you the working title, the fictional working title of a film, and you have to try and figure out what the real movie is. Y'all remember this? We'll go one at a time. I will read what I think was the working title of a movie, and you have to try and guess what the real title is. Sound simple?
Easy.
And if you don't get it, or if you take longer than 5 seconds to guess, it becomes open to the entire floor, and the first person I hear will get credit, assuming they get the answer right.
What's the prize?
You get our respect for being a super geek. We'll go Amanda, Lacey, Randy, David.
Perfect.
All right. Amanda, are you ready?
Yep.
All right. The working title of this film was Under 18 for a Second Time. Very
good. Oh, man, there's 2 options. 17 again?
That is correct.
Phew.
Can't go wrong with your Zac Efron movies.
No.
I was worried it might also be 13 going on 30.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It could have been Freaky Friday as well, I guess.
Oh, Freaky Friday.
Oh my God, and vice versa, and Father and Son.
All these movies, and I would have given you credit for it too.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a nice guy. Anyway, Lacey, are you ready? You actually get a tough one, so good luck.
Oh God, I guess so. Can I have 10 seconds?
No, you get 5, and that's it. No more, no less.
Oh, I thought we were friends.
Nope, we're not. We are general acquaintances. let's see. All right. The working title of this film was Gloomy Soldiers.
Oh, God.
Well, your time
Starship Troopers? No. Starship Troopers?
That is incorrect. Does anybody else know? Gloomy Soldiers.
Inglorious Bastards?
No, but that's a good guess.
That was a great guess.
Yeah, that is a decent guess there.
All right, it was Army of Darkness.
Terrible looking title.
That's why they changed it. That's why they changed it. All right, Randy, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, the working title of this film was Packs a Large Punch. Packs a large.
It can't be Sucker Punch because it has punch in the title already.
Correct. Time's up. Anybody else know?
Big hit.
Very good. David is correct.
I've never heard of that movie.
Yeah, yeah, with Mark Wahlberg.
It's a great movie. You should check it out.
No.
David, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you get an easy one. Sphere Kid.
Oh, is it Bubble Boy?
Right.
Damn, I knew that one.
David with two.
Alright, I was gonna be a smart ass and not play along, but now I'm winning, so I have to keep playing.
Alright, Amanda, are you ready?
Yeah.
The working title of this film is Cashiers, one of which isn't supposed to be here today.
What?
Oh my god. Oh, come on.
Clerks?
Very good.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Actually seen Clerks.
Okay.
Clerks is great.
So Amanda has two.
Phew.
I was getting pretty worried there. Oh, man. Lacey, you get a hard one again.
Oh. What is this, hazing?
Order was picked at random. First. Okay. The working title of this film is Island Universe Adventure.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Does anybody else know? Island Universe Adventure. There's Galaxy Quest.
Oh.
Randy.
Ready.
All right.
Ready.
All right. The working title of this film was Party with Period on Your Pantaloons.
Oh, Breaking Bad. We were just talking about. No. Superbad. We were just talking about that.
Yes. Okay.
That's my first one.
Yeah. All right. David, are you ready?
Yep.
We are grateful for your support, signed Big Tobacco.
Thank you for not smoking.
Very good, David.
Really?
That's what it's called.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, what did you say?
Thank you for smoking.
Yeah, you said thank you for not smoking.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, Amanda, we're going to give her credit for that since she knew that that was the incorrect title. All right, Amanda, are you ready?
Okay.
The working title for this film. Oh, man, it's kind of an easy one again.
Come on. I know I'm going to get a ridiculous one that doesn't even, like, make sense.
You can't get away till you see your next one, too. It's so bad.
I'll just go kill myself.
Don't do that, because the game's not over yet. Let's see. One-stop shop for pharmaceutical needs. Umbrella Corps.
I have no idea.
Does anybody know?
Resident Evil?
Hey, good, David!
Oh, I have no idea what the premise of Resident Evil is.
It was the Umbrella Corp that I thought was going to be the giveaway.
Yeah. I never watched or played any of those games.
Oh, geez. So David is...
It gave me nightmares.
David is three, Amanda's three.
Lacey is crying in the corner.
The heat is... Oh, yeah. Well, you got to cry some more. All right. Are you ready?
Some more?
I'll keep you company. I'll keep you company in that corner because I think I'm in the other one.
All right. Are you ready, Lacey?
No.
All
right. Yes, I guess.
The working title of this film was It's Hard to Hear Your Homemade Radio Station.
Good Morning, Vietnam?
No. That's a good guess. Does anybody else know?
Pump Up the Volume.
Very good, David.
What? I've never even heard of this movie.
It is really good. Christian
was
Slater.
Was it made before I was born?
Probably.
No.
When was it made? Because I was born in 1988.
Oh, well, that's your problem. What's coming of age movie that every teen should watch?
It's timeless.
It really is.
Oh, I missed my window.
Well, it's 1990, so...
I was two.
Five.
Well, I know, but it's timeless. It deals with some very sensitive issues. Teens not with parents not listening to them. Suicide. Big deal. All they want is for kids to be heard.
Come on, Mom.
Exactly.
You never listen to me.
Exactly. All right. So, David S. Ford. Randy, are you ready?
I am.
All right. Working title of this film is Minions, Orphans, and Mayhem. Oh, my God.
I have no idea.
Anybody know?
Despicable Me?
Despicable Me.
Yes, David got it.
Damn it.
I've never seen any of those movies.
I thought you just
They're
watched
good.
The other day.
Nope.
All right. David, are you ready?
I am ready.
Appropriated? No way. I've got skills. Judo chop.
Oh, I know this one.
Thought I did until I heard judo chop. I'll go Austin Powers?
No. Who knows it?
Oh, I was going to say Austin Powers.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Enter the Dragon?
Oh my god, no. That's Kung Fu.
Oh,
The answer is Taken.
Oh,
Judo Chop threw me away.
I've got skills. Judo Chop. So I was going.
He doesn't say that?
Well, he's got.
He doesn't say that.
He has a particular set of skills.
Yes, and all he does is Judo Chop the shit out of people for 90 minutes.
Does he Judo Chop them, though?
He marks. Kicks them.
It's no, he slaps them in the goddamn face.
Punches.
All right, so David has number. He has five, so he's in the lead. Amanda has three, and then it doesn't matter what the rest of you have. But I have a, I have a bonus if you guys are interested for kids.
Can Lacey?
Sure. Is it free for all, or is this between Randy and Lacey for the booby prize?
No, you guys can all just guess. All right, are you ready?
Ready.
Now hiring. Must be able to curve shots fired from your gun. No hazard pay.
Wanted.
Yes.
I thought we had to wait for the whole thing.
I just shot it when you know it. It's good enough. Okay. Lacey got it.
Oh my god, I got one.
Experience in binary code is a plus.
Matrix?
No, that was it. That was just finishing out the thing. So David could guess.
Sorry.
No, that's alright. Very good. I'm proud of all of you. You're all winners tonight.
I like it when they're hard like that. It's more fun.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Ooh.
I know.
That's it.
That's the game.
It's a fun game.
They were hard this week.
That's good. They should be kind of challenged. Most time they're super easy. It's good to get a little challenge.
Well, I feel like when they're too hard, it's not fun. And when they're too easy, you guys get a perfect score. And then that's a problem, too.
Nose is right in the middle.
Sure, perfect. Sure. You know.
Says me because I won, but you know.
Yeah, with five. It's not bad. So, Lacey, why don't you tell us about Geeking Out? And why you went with threes instead of E's? What's the story?
Do you want the honest reason?
Was it already
taken? Because E's was taken?
Yeah, because E's were taken by someone that was like, oh, I own this. If you want to buy it from me, get back to me. And I'm like, nope. Geeking Out is my site, geekingout.com. It's G33KINGOut.com. It's a site that my friends and I put together. It's, you know, movies, television, comic books, probably a lot of rants about Star Wars, stuff like that. And it's just something I always wanted to do. So it launched in July and it's going pretty well.
Cool. There's another website that's similar to that. It's called geeklegacy.com.
Got to plug our own site in our own pocket.
You guys do have a good site. You guys have a great site.
We launched last July.
Yeah, it's a good month.
And eventually we'll absorb all the geeks into our collective.
Ah. Well, cool. We were excited.
We'll be assimilated.
Congratulations on launching your website that you've always wanted to do.
Thank you. Yeah. I hope to work with you guys in the future, obviously.
All right, well, that does it for this week's podcast. I'd like to thank Lacey from geekingout.com for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. I had so much fun.
I would like to remind all of you to tune in to the Assembly of Geeks podcast. We're actually going to be having one of their co-hosts, Scott Murray, on our show next week. And we also have a couple other podcasts that we want you to listen to. There's the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen Janes and myself. It's all about video games. And then we have the Comic Corner Podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list. Remember to check out geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews, and we hope you have a fabulous week.